designated a certain mission they had to do. And according to the standards of that day and time, it was a mission that was impossible. Let me tell you, we back up to the book of Joshua, and we see here a mission that is impossible without God's intervention. So that's why I call it faith impossible, or impossible faith, because as we look very close at this passage, there are some things that we're going to come to recognize. There are two themes in chapter 1, and that is encouragement as one of them in verses 6, 7, 9, and 18. And then another one is the already given blessing that God is going to give to the children of Israel. And he talks about that. God is giving that. God is going to give them that. And, of course, we know Joshua's name means Jehovah is salvation. And the person God called for a job, as we studied this morning in Sunday school hour with Moses, just as it is with Joshua, the first thing, he enables that person, he equips that person, and he empowers that person to do what God wants. So I want us to look tonight at faith. Introduction, when is faith real faith? When is faith real faith? I know in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, it gives us not a definition, but a description of faith. There is absolutely no definition of faith in the Bible. There are some experiences of faith in the Bible, but no definition of faith. The description of faith says that in Hebrews 11 chapter, faith is the substance, something that is real, something that is solid. We look at this pulpit as something that's real and solid, but let me tell you, a fire will destroy that. But when we think about substance, he's talking about the real standing, the real thing that will be there, the bedrock, if you please. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That is a description of faith. But what is faith? When is faith real faith? When is faith real faith? Anybody want to give me an idea? What is it? When is faith real faith? Huh? Come on, help me out here. If you don't, we'll be here to midnight. When is faith real faith? What is this book? This book is the Bible, and for believers, it is a book of what? Faith. What is faith, and when is faith real faith? Let me tell you, it's when we, as the people of God, take God at His word and respond to Him in that fashion. When is faith real faith in my life and your life? Let me tell you, faith is faith in your life and my life when we respond to God as we should respond to Him. By the promises of His word He has given us, and I don't remember how many thousand there are, some 3,600 promises for God's children within the Word of God. But the thing about it is, they are absolutely null and void until you and I, as the people of God, trust God for what He says. Are you with me? So let's look at this passage. We're going to read the whole chapter, so stand up with me for reading God's Word, and then remain standing for prayer. It says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. For the wilderness, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. That ought to be sufficient, should it not? As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare ye victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan and go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the words which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. He's talking about on the transide Jordan. He says, your wives and your little ones and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave unto you on this side of Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren, armed all the mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possessions and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandments and will not hearken unto the words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Let's pray together. Eternal God, our Father, we bow in submission to you, thanking you for the privilege of life. Thanking you for the privilege we have to come tonight, Lord, and to just worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Lord, for the songs we've sung, the songs that have so much meaning in our hearts and our lives because of the victory we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. And Father, I pray tonight that you would open the ears of our understanding, Lord, that you would help us to recognize and understand that which you'd have us to know and to be about. And I pray, God, tonight that you would take these wretched, feeble lips once again, God, and you'd speak through them the truth of your word. Help us, oh God, that we might align our lives with your will above everything, and God, that we would just trust you. I pray, Father, tonight that in and through the preaching of your word, Lord, that you would just be glorified and lifted up. Lord, and if there's one here that has never trusted you as Lord and Savior, this might be the night that they exercise faith in you and trust you for what you accomplished for them on Calvary's cross, and they come to know the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart and their life. I pray, God, tonight that each one of us may recognize and understand that we are people of faith and we must learn to walk by faith and not by sight. God, have your will accomplished is our prayer in the strong and powerful and saving name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and for his glory alone we pray and ask this. Amen. And I've got to get my coat off already. I'm hot. Somebody's got the heater on. We need an attic fan up here, ceiling fan or something. That thing maybe stay there. As we look at the passage before us, there are some things we want to point out, and as we think about what real faith is, as you think about the event of this time, we know that the children of Israel have not gone into the promised land. They're standing, I would say, on the brink of the promised land. Moses, their leader, the one that they had led them out of Egypt through the wilderness wandering for those 40 years, he has died. And now Joshua has been appointed to take his place and to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. The faith that they had, the faith that we must recognize as they stood on the brink of entering into a new land, they must exercise faith in the leader leader God has given them, God has chosen to lead them, they must trust Him and look to Him for the direction that only God can give to bring about what is necessary in their lives. Let me tell you something. Sometimes we as the people of God, as the children of God, we're standing on the brink or the borderline of things that God wants us to do out in the future, and we never move toward that goal. Why is that? Why is that? It is because we do not trust God enough to take that step of faith and to venture out into what God would have us to do. Did you know, as you look at this passage and as you study the history of the children of Israel in their wilderness wanderings, they had faith time and time and time, but yet they were those who denied God, who went back on God, who did not trust God for everything. But let me tell you something. Even in your life and my life, yesterday's faith won't work for today. Are you with me? You cannot depend on the things that happened yesterday or last month or last week or last year. We must recognize and understand that we are to be people of faith. They were to be the people of faith as a visible reminder to those round about them that they were in tune with God to the point, Brother Robert, wherever God said for them to go, they were willing to go for the glory of God. Let me tell you something. That's exactly the way you and I are to be as a children of God, as a people of God today. We must learn to step out in simple childlike faith. As we look at this, in our lives today, many of us are limited in our spiritual growth because we lack the courage as far as faith goes. Because sometimes our faith does not go far enough. We are bound in our faithless condition. We are bound like some animal in a cage because we have not, I don't know what the term not is a good word, but we have not allowed God to reveal to us which He wants us to do or that which He wants us to be about. See, the things we are so accustomed to are our five senses. We can look at those things, and many people rest their whole life and their whole future on those five senses. That is, see, what they smell, what they taste, what they feel, what they can hear. But let me tell you something. The faith is a new adventure. It is a new avenue because faith goes beyond our five senses. It is the sixth sense in the life of a child of God, in the life of the believer, those who will align their lives with the purpose and the will of God. And you say, how can that be? How can that be? Let me tell you something. So many times we look at those five senses and they are things that we are tangible. They're tangible and we say they're the most important. But as we look at this passage, we're going to see beyond that. But what about faith? Faith is intangible, thus the world standards, as we look at it, they are not as important as they should be. However, real faith conquers and even destroys the tangible. You might say, "How? Well, let's just look at our scriptures. We see this, we see what transpired." The first thing is we must recognize, there are some requirements for real faith. Some requirements for real faith, and I listed some of those. First of all, I says real faith sees the potential. Sees the potential. In seeing the potential, many times it is anew, it's different, and it's not by the world standards because it is the unseeable things. See, they sent spies into the promised land. You remember that story, and we'll not go into that very much, but they sent those spies in and they brought back words, and Joshua and Caleb is the only one that brought back the true report of what was there. All the other 10 spies brought back that false report, and because of that 10 being the, I guess they're Baptists, we call them Baptist Israelites here, because they went along with the majority. That's good. That's good thinking, you know, good theology, because that's sometimes what we need to do. But think about it is, the 10 were wrong and Joshua and Caleb were right, because they recognize that it makes no difference what kind of circumstances, what kind of problems, what kind of issues were there, that the God that they serve was greater than any problem that was there waiting them. Let me tell you something. That's exactly the way it is in life today. I don't care what you are facing. Listen to me very close. I do not care what you are facing. The problem that you're facing ought not be bigger than the God that you serve. If the problem you've got is bigger than the God you serve, you better check up on your God. Because let me tell you something. problems, God can subdue those problems. And as we look at this passage, we're going to see that. That's exactly what transpired here and later on in this book of Joshua. So in seeing the potential, real faith looks to the future. It does not dwell on the present. It does not dwell on the past, but it looks into the future. Yes, we ought to be in the present reality, but in the present reality, we ought to be moving along and walking by faith and not by sight, as the Word of God plainly says for a child of God. And we look to the future of what God is going to do. Let me tell you something. A church, any church that is moving, that is growing, they're looking in the future of what God has and their potential in the future. When we lose sight of the potential that is before us, we will die and wither on the stalk, folks, if we do not trust God and move out for the glory of God. That's why Joshua here, real faith sees the potential. He saw the potential. God had told them of that potential. He told them about it. Well, Joshua knew about it because he went in as one of those spies and he understood the land. He understood the greatness of the land. He recognized that a land that was flowing with milk and honey. But he also knew that with the help of God, that they could subdue everything that they're. Let's just look at it for a moment. The potential of moving into the promised land. The potential was there. But how did they reach their potential is when they took God and trust God and take Him at His word. And the same thing applies to your life and mine tonight when we trust God in what He says. So real faith sees the potential. But secondly, real faith makes provision. Verses 10 and 11 talks about them, how they were to make physical preparation. Joshua says, get ready. Get ready. I believe, folks, we need to get ready for great things for God. I mean, we sit around on our holy haunches in our pew, our padded pew, and we're just waiting for something to happen when God wants us to get up and move out for the glory of God. When we, as a church, lose sight, listen to me very close. When we lose sight of reaching people for the Jesus Christ, we have lost all reason for being a church, period. Kind of like the little boy that went to school. I told that story, I believe, here before. He went to school the first day, and the teacher asked him his name and asked him, did he have his birth certificate? And he says, no, ma'am, I did not bring my birth certificate. She said, well, son, you got to go back home, and I'm going to write you an excuse to go back home, and you get that birth certificate, you bring it. So he took that excuse, and he started home, and as he was going home, you know, like little boys do, he was fumbling around playing with it, and the thing slipped out of his hand and went down one of them storm drains, and he sat there on the curb, and he began to cry and just cry and cry and cry. And this police officer came by and said, son, what's the matter? He says, I've lost my excuse for being born. Let me tell you something. When we lose sight of the potential that God has for us of reaching lost people, we've lost our excuse for being born, period, as a people. So real faith makes provision. Look at 3:5 with me just a moment. Chapter 3, verse 5, it says this. We'll read on here. It says, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders, where? Among you. And Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when ye come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is where? Where? Among you, and that He will without what? Fail, drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Havites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Ammonites, the Jebusites, and might even run the termites off. I don't know. He says, behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord is the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth. passes over before you into Jordan. Now, therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe of man, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord, listen to this, the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. Boy, that does away with a lot of this speculation. Those trying to help the Lord out, because they've kind of said that, you know, that this was not too bad a place like it was when they crossed the Red Sea. But let me tell you something. The Bible says that it stood up in a heap. And that means, my friend, that it was standing up in a heap. I don't care what they think or what they say. I'd rather go by what the Word of God says. But the thing about it was, the children of Israel had already seen this one time at the crossing of the Red Sea, whenever they came into and left Egypt. And because of that, we see here God is doing another miracle for them. And God wants them to understand and to know that He's going to be with them. And God is, they make provisions of their life and allow God to take them, then He's going to make provisions for them in the life in which they step over on the other side. Because God, let me tell you something, God is a God that makes provisions, is He not? Boy, I tell you, He makes provisions for us today as well. In making provisions, one must use all the foresight he can. And I believe that's what Joshua did, because he recognized what must take place. That's why he didn't give them instructions like he did, because he wanted them to be ready to meet the potential that was on the other side as they trusted God and they looked to God through the eye of faith and recognized that God can do that which is impossible. Impossible. Let me tell you something. Children of faith, people of faith, we need to recognize that we serve a God that does the impossible. He does that which is out of the ordinary sometimes. And we need to understand that. We need to realize that. But there's a third thing about faith. And real faith takes possession. How? If you look in chapter verse 11, it tells you, he says there, he gave the promise. He says, God giveth you the land to possess it. It takes God at His word. That's what it's all about. Real faith takes possession of what God has said. And let me tell you something. That's why I say so many times we live anemic Christian lives, because we do not allow God, we do not respond to God that He's going to do what He said He would do in His word, and we miss out on the possessions that God has already given, made possible to us, and we will not respond to Him that we may receive those things. See, He said His presence was going to be there. That does away with a lot of things. That does away with a lot of things, because, see, by the worldly logic, the world says seeing is believing. But folks, that's not true. That's not true. There are those who can, by the sly of hand, can make you see things that really never appear. There are things that happen that we don't understand. And all this modern technology today on television, they do all these things and they can make you think you see something that you don't see. But let me tell you something. The faith says this. Faith does not say seeing is believing, but faith says believing is seeing. Seeing the results which God can and will do. Listen to me. Listen to me very close. Divine operation. Divine operation. God in His operating. Divine operation waits on human cooperation. Listen to me. Divine operation waits on human cooperation. Keep in mind, human cooperation never waits on divine operation. Are you with me? Here, Joshua realized that as a people, as those he were to lead, he had to take God at His word. They had to take God at His word. He had to impart to them what it meant to take God at His word. And let me tell you something. That's what real faith is all about. It is taking God at His word. Turn to chapter 6 just a moment. Here we see how real faith, the intangible, is victorious and conquers the real world by the standards of the real world, which is tangible. Well, I don't have time to read. You know the story about the walls of Jericho, how the children, God gave them instructions what to do after they got into the promised land. The first thing, the first obstacle, the first hindrance there was the city of Jericho. Big city, mighty city, great city. The Bible says, and archaeologists have discovered, that the walls of that city was something like 20 foot across on top. Those walls were that thick. They said that two horses and chariots could cross or pass on the top of that wall of that city. It was on a pinnacle. It was on a place where no one could get to them, come down from top. And so they had to come up to them. But here God saw and God gave Joshua and them the victory, because it says whenever they got there, it says the city was all shut up and no one come in and no one went out. Why? Because, let me tell you, God was knocking on their door already. He was knocking on their door. They were afraid because of the greatness of who God was. Here they had just crossed the river here, the sea there, and it was at flood stage and they crossed over. Here they come, folks, here they come, and they're marching because they have followed God and what God's messenger said, and they're going to persevere, and they're going to take what God has given to them. Let me tell you something. So many times we miss out because we are not really willing to take into possession what God has already given to us as His children. Here we see those tangible walls of Jericho, mighty, glorious, full of all kind of strength. God gave them exact instructions, and they followed those exact instructions as they marched around those walls for 6 days. And then the seventh day, they marched seven times, and they blew their horns. And when they did, and they shouted, the whole walls came tumbling down. Why? Not because they fell from the outside in, but the archaeologists say they fell from the inside out, and that means that God intervened somewhere inside of Jericho, because He wanted the children of Israel to know that there was no stone left unturned that the children of Israel could not be a part of and take possession of when they trusted Him. Period. Have you got faith? Real faith? Faith? See, their faith was intangible things, because they thought as a fortified city, Jericho and inside the walls of Jericho, they had deliverance, they had salvation. But not so. Not so. What are you basing your salvation in tonight? Is it something tangible? If it is, it's not scriptural. See, was Israel's faith in the Ark of the Covenant that went before them? Or was it in God? We can see later where it did become their, I guess you'd say, their crutch. But according to Ephesians 2:8-9, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Faith, we realize that faith, when we trust Jesus Christ for all that He is, He makes possible Himself helps us realize who we are not as we trust Him for salvation. Jesus makes possible for us everything that we stand in need of. Here, Joshua and the children of Israel, as they moved into the promised land, they expressed faith in the Father. They expressed faith in God and what God could and would do when they trust Him. When they trust Him. So what is this all about? Is this dealing with salvation? It's dealing with salvation from a standpoint of God's, where your trust is at. There's an overlapping statement. And that is, real faith knows the promise is made. It says it there in verse 6, be strong and of good courage. The overarching statement made throughout the text is in verse 6 and verse 7. It's in verse 9 and verse 18. It says, be strong and be of good courage. 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. Then in verse 9 it says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Then look over in the last phrase, it says, only be strong and of good courage. What does that mean? What does it say? What does this mean to us today? Maybe we need to put it that way. What does the term mean? Strong. Be strong. The term strong means have stamina. It means to have strength. It means to have fortitude. And the root word is it comes from the word where we get the term strength from, or strong, and that is where we look at. But when we think about strength for today, Paul alluded to this in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. He said for the child of God today, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Did you catch that? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And then he says, put on the whole armor of God. When you go through what Paul is talking about there, the only way that you and I can be victorious today, the only way that we can live the way that we should, is to depend and look to the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ to take possession, listen to me, take possession of our life and for Him to live through us. Be strong. The other term is good courage, or be courageous. The term there means bravery with backing or with unfailing support. Listen to me. Listen to me, dear children. It is time as never before to take God at His word and yield ourselves and look for His divine operation so our faith may be spoken of by our children, our grandchildren, and those to come as real faith. Hallelujah. I cannot... We talk about faith a lot. It's one of those Christian words, I guess we could say. In many people's lives, it has very, very little meaning because they do not understand the promises of God, because they will not trust God and look to God for what He wants in their lives. But as the children of God, we need to recognize and we need to understand that the only way that we can overcome the obstacles in our life as we stand on the brink of tonight moving into toward tomorrow is for us to exercise faith in God and take Him at His word and be obedient to His will for our life. And then and only then can we really, really overcome the things that lie before us. See, your faith that you need today, your faith that you need today will not help you tomorrow. You have to use faith. I remember whenever the Lord was calling me to the ministry, and I kept saying, Lord, give me more faith. I was kind of like the disciples. Lord, increase my faith, increase my faith. Give me more faith, Lord, give me more faith. And one night as I was laying in bed praying this prayer, Lord, give me more faith that I might do what You want me to do, I was reminded of like a wheel bar, and it was piling up, filled with sand. I mean, it was filled up to the running over point. And that's kind of like I was. I was asking God to give me more faith when there was no room for the more faith. What I need to do is use that which I already got, which I already have. God made that very plain to me. And I believe that's exactly the way it is in the child of God. God has given us faith, and He wants to give us more faith. But for us to obtain more faith, that we can be more faithful to God, we must use that which He has already entrusted to us. How can we do that? As He gave Joshua the admonition, be strong and of good courage. Listen to this song. It says, be strong in the Lord and be of good courage. Your mighty defender is always the same. Mount up with wings as the eagle ascending. Victory is sure when you call on His name. Be strong, be strong, be strong in the Lord, and be of good courage, for He is your guide. Be strong, be strong, be strong in the Lord, and rejoice, for the victory is yours. So put on the armor the Lord has provided and place your defense in His unfailing love. Trust Him, for He will be with you in battle, lighting your path to avoid every snare. And then the third verse says, be strong in the Lord and be of good courage. Your mighty commander will vanquish the foes. Fear not the battle, for the victory is always His. He will protect you wherever you go. Be strong, be strong in the Lord, and be of good courage, for He is your guide. Be strong, be strong, be strong in the Lord, and rejoice, for the victory is yours. Let's pray together. Father, tonight we have so much to be thankful for. And truly, Lord, we can rejoice as your children, as your people tonight, because, God, you have made possible for us.